can be. We're gonna walk inside. He gets what's up, put the food on my plate, add some coke in my cup. So our food segment this morning notes an economic reality. In times of economic hardship, Americans turn away from the rat race, and it occurs to them to turn toward the dirt around them. 41 million Americans, it's estimated, do some amount of vegetable gardening, according to a National Gardening Association survey, and that's rising. But before you grab a shovel and turn your plot of dirt into green acres, you might want to talk with our next guest, Manny Howard, author of My Empire of Dirt. Good morning, Manny.
Morning, John.
Manny knew almost nothing about raising or growing food when he turned his Brooklyn backyard, how big is this backyard?
800 square feet.
800 square feet into a farm back in 2007. Your goal was to live for an entire month only on the items you grew and raised, no matter how small or disastrous that food supply might be, right?
That's correct, with the exception of salt, pepper, and coffee grounds.
That you would get, those were commodities you would acquire.
Right.
And you dragged your family into this as well.
That's correct.
That's correct. Nice of you to do that. Why did you want to do this, and how successful were you for that month?
Well, the project was a combination of sort of journalistic rodeo clown activity.
Gotcha.
And also the sort of extreme test of this growing locavore movement, the idea that you source your food within 100 or 30 feet, depending on your will, and all the food you eat comes from
that subsistence. I mean, it's a very old American tradition. I was actually looking back at titles.
Independence, yeah.
There's a great book written in the 1930s called 5 Acres in Independence that actually told people in the Depression, just forget the rat race, forget unemployment, leave the city, find 5 acres, go homestead, and you can do it yourself. How hard is this to do, Manny?
It's extraordinarily hard. So I knew it was going to be hard when I started, and I can't tell you how much harder it was than I had imagined it was going to be. Every morning I would pull on my work pants and fix what was broken, feed what was hungry, water what was thirsty, and try to heal what was dying, and then repeat.
So before we talk about the gardening element, how much livestock did you put in your backyard?
The livestock, I tried two different strategies, three really, but the two that made it to the backyard were rabbits, meat rabbits. God bless the people who can figure out how to turn rabbits into meat.
Why is that a problem? Just explain.
I could never be largely because I couldn't get my rabbits to do what rabbits are fabled for doing.
Reproduce.
Yeah.
You couldn't get rabbits to reproduce.
Yeah, it was brutal. Especially, 40-year-old man in his underpants at dawn with a cup of coffee
did
watching
Did you try
rabbits.
Playing Barry White?
I tried everything, yeah. Right. Barry White was one of them.
Yeah. Well, okay, so you couldn't get rabbits to reproduce. So what about things to grow? You had some chickens, too,
right?
That's right.
I had actually 25 meat birds, chickens used for meat, and 10 egg birds. At some point in my panic, I remembered that chickens lay eggs. Actually, it's the one thing that recommends a chicken in my mind is that it lays
That's
eggs.
That's the only thing.
And you brought some of your eggs in here.
That's
and
right.
We got a soft cook egg from Manny Howard's little farm there in Brooklyn. Explain why you decided to bring a humble soft cook egg in.
I prefer the soft cooked egg over the hard cooked egg.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And because we still have chickens in the backyard, we haven't bought eggs since 2007. We presently have five chickens in the backyard, two of which are new arrivals. So the pecking order is still working itself out, which is often quite a brutal project.
So you succeeded as far as the eggs go.
Yeah.
So you're subsistent on eggs. I'm on page 187 of your book, My Empire of Dirt. Get out.
Yes.
When Lisa started screaming, she was standing in front of me in the hall, but now after repeating herself twice, she's in a fetal crouch, covering her face. Get out, she both begs and demands. I step back to lean against the doorframe. Get out. This is your wife responding to how well it's going.
That's right. Yeah, no. my patient, beautiful wife lost her zeal for the project at about when the pile of garbage got to about 4 or 5 feet high, and the refrigerator in the back in the garage started to rust out, which I thought was a great sign. You must really be running a successful farm if you have a rusted fridge.
A rusted fridge in the backyard.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, you almost lost your finger.
Yeah, I was. I broke the cardinal rule. My stepfather had a small real estate empire in Sunset Park, and the rule in the job site was turn off all the power tools at 4:30. There's plenty of work to do, sweeping and stuff. This was growing up as a kid. But the power tools stopped. I was still working on my high-rise chicken coop at 6:30, and I put my finger through the the blade of a table saw. Right through the joint.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. And indeed.
Yes. And the matrons who run our lives, or the people's lives who never leave the neighborhood they grew up in, put me in touch with a fantastic hand surgeon who happened to still be in the office and put what was left of it back on the...
Which would not have been the case for someone doing this out in the middle of British Columbia or Colorado or something like
that. Fair point. Fewer hand surgeons, yes.
Right. So what tool did you grow to hate? What animal or vegetable did you grow to hate? And what did you grow to love during this experiment?
I grew to hate myself primarily for my inability through ignorance and arrogance to take care of the animals that I brought to the farm.
Because you were because you were no good at it, or because it was a stupid idea to begin with?
I think a combination of both.
Yep.
Yeah. The meat rabbits seemed like a great idea because they grew to 25 pounds at adulthood, which meant their children grew to 5 pounds very quickly, which is what I needed, was quick rabbits at 5 pounds. They're called Flemish Giants. Their rabbits are much harder to take care of than I'd ever anticipated.
So give us something positive for all those 41 million Americans who are
the takeaway, as it were.
The takeaway. Yeah. There we go.
Well, you know, the farm lives on, but it's not just eggs. It's this, I suppose it's this complete understanding, this new understanding of how hard it is to break the transactional relationship we all have with food.
Getting off the grid is hard. What built this country is hard.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Yeah, and also a new metric for the durability of our marriage.
That's right, and it is durable.
She loves you, Manny.
That's right. All right, Manny Howard.
I love her.
Manny Howard, author of My Empire of Dirt. It's a redemptive story of trying to farm in the middle of the city in Brooklyn, New York. Manny Howard, thanks so much.
Thanks for having me.
And you can see actual pictures of Manny Howard's chicken coop and his backyard garden at our website, thetakeaway.org. Be sure to tune in tomorrow. We're going to be talking about the new TV season that used to start in the fall. Some interesting summer shows, though, coming up. That's the return of the scripted series tomorrow on The Takeaway. I'm Celeste Headlee.
And I'm John Hockenberry with a soft cooked egg in front of me. This is The Takeaway.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.